Dr. Andrew Wakefield, tell me a little bit about autism, this affliction. Exactly what is it? What does it do?
Right. It was described by a doctor called Leo Kanner in 1943. It was first described then. So it seems that it did not exist in any recognizable form before that time. It's described according to its behavioral features. In other words, how the child presents to you at that time in the clinic. And it is characterized by lack of socialization, lack of communication, repetitive behaviors, loss of eye contact or absence of eye contact, absence of overt emotion or physical and emotional contact with peers, no interest in play, this kind of thing. It's a socially devastating problem. But beyond the behavioral aspects are clear physical problems with these children. Their immune system isn't working well. Their intestines are not functioning properly. And there's a great deal of evidence to suggest that the intestine may be the source of the problem in many, many children, which sounds to people rather confusing. But in fact, the link between the bowel and the brain is one that's firmly established in medicine. We are, if you like, what we eat. And toxins from the intestine can undoubtedly have an impact upon brain and behavior. So it's now becoming increasingly recognized that this is a much more than just a neurological or a brain disease. It's a what we call a systemic or whole body disease. And the recognition of that has led to huge advances in our understanding and treatment of the problem. And Jenny McCarthy's little boy, Evan, is the beneficiary of that that knowledge and that intervention, and the fact that he's got a determined mother who's going to get to the bottom of the problem, and he's doing very well.
Absolutely, and that's good news. Why do they say that children who have this compulsion with stacking things up and being orderly, why do they say that's autistic? To me, that's almost genius.
Well, it would be wonderful if it were meaningful. This is the problem, is if it were done for the purpose of tidying up their bedroom, for example, that would be wonderful. But it's a repetitive exercise which could go on for hours and hours and hours, and does not actually have any achievement. So what they will do is they will watch the same segment of a video, say Thomas the Tank Engine, and they will watch the same segment for hours and hours, rewinding, going back, doing it again. And it is a reflection of a perseveration, if you like, that is clearly abnormal and not consistent with, I've seen that, I've done that, move on and find out what the next bit shows. And so it's something that is a fundamental part of the autistic syndrome and something which we need to understand a great deal more about.
If this was first beginning to be discovered in 1943, when did the vaccine come out?
The MMR vaccine did not come along till much later. And no one is saying that all autism is caused by vaccines. Indeed, we know that there were cases of autism before vaccines came along that were caused by, for example, the drug thalidomide,
the drug
that caused limb abnormalities.
Right, they look like little flippers, right?
That's right. Sodium valproate, another drug that can cause autism, taken by the mother during pregnancy. And George, the really interesting thing as far as this argument is concerned, it is that it is known that exposure during pregnancy to viruses such as measles, mumps, and rubella, or early after in the period after pregnancy, can lead to autism. And so there you have historical evidence that these three viruses in their natural form can be associated with autism in the child. So is it possible that when you put them together in the combination, they increase that risk? And that is something that certainly merits investigation.
Did we see a spike in autism once the vaccine came out?
Yes, there's a paper that's just come out, extremely interesting paper, which looked at the time trends in the number of new children presenting with autism. And it shows a clear sort of hockey stick effect in the UK, in Japan, and around the world when the MMR vaccine was introduced. It narrows it down to a 2 to 3 year time window, which is quite extraordinary. And pinpoint the change in the shape of that curve, the incidence curve, to that point. And so the data are certainly consistent with the disease taking off with the introduction of that vaccine.
There was an expert witness who was giving evidence against you, criticizing you for not disclosing what he called a conflict of interest during your research. I want you to explain that and also explain the fact that wasn't that person, that witness, also being paid by the government and drug companies to do his own research?
Yes, now this is the person you refer to is the sort of doyen of autism in the UK, Professor Sir Michael Rutter. And he was an expert witness against me and my colleagues at the General Medical Council. And in addition, he has appeared in US vaccine court and the UK vaccine court on behalf of the defendants, that is the government or the pharmaceutical companies. Now, he, ironically, was the first to describe the link between vaccines and autism. So people say Dr. Wakefield was the first. In fact, in 1994, Professor Rutter produced a paper showing that one child that he described had regressed into autism following immunization. And he labeled it as the probable cause, which is something that we never said. So, you know, if we're irresponsible, then he is highly irresponsible. What we said is that this study, our original study, never proves an association, let alone a causal association. So we were very sober in any contentions that we made. But Rutter stood up at the General Medical Council and said that because I had agreed to undertake a study on behalf of the lawyers, a research study in the UK, that this should have been disclosed in the Lancet paper, the paper in 1998 that first described the syndrome. Well, none of the children in that study, none of them, were at the time of their referral to the Royal Free Hospital, were involved in litigation. So there was no conflict.
Now, you've suggested the connection between autism and the vaccines, but you do say we don't know for sure one way or another. We don't know if it's the vaccine, and or we don't know that it is not the vaccine. In these particular cases, what percent of children that just get a vaccine end up coming down with autism?
It's a very good question, George, and we don't have the answer to that. And that is the reason for that is that causation is highly complex. And let me just characterize that in a nutshell, that people in this country have suggested that the thimerosal preservative, the mercury preservative, which is in other vaccines, not the MMR, may also be involved. And that's entirely right. Plausible because that substance, mercury, ethyl mercury, a preservative that should never, ever have been in the vaccine because it's highly toxic, can damage the immune system. So if your immune system is hit with successive vaccines containing this mercury compound, and then you get an MMR on top of it, a live viral vaccine, the immune system may just put up its hands and say, I don't get it.